A reading from the Epistle. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. There once was a child who was sent to her room because she had missed the mark and she made a bad decision. And a short time later, she came out of her room and she said to her mom, "I've been thinking about what I did and I said a prayer." "That's good," her mom replied. "If you ask God for help, then God will help you." "Oh, I didn't ask God to help me," she said. "I asked God to help you put up with me." Today is Children's Sabbath, a day when we have the privilege of being led by our children in word and song. I am honored to preach on such a high and holy day. Jesus took the time to invest in children. As Jesus followers, we have a theological calling to take the time to interact on a meaningful level with the children in our church and in our lives. This work with children is our greatest and most important work of all. Seek peace and pursue it, our family ministry's theme for the year, is a reminder that finding peace doesn't just happen. It's intentional, and we have to take action to bring about the peace we're seeking. If we stop and listen, really listen to our children, they will show us the way. Our epistle lesson from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi is filled with practical advice for Christian living. Paul calls for unity, offers encouragement, and offers a path to overcome anxiety with prayer. He also highlights the importance of right thinking and living out one's faith in a way that brings the peace of God into our daily lives. To understand Paul's message of joy, peace, steadfastness, we first need to understand the context in which the letter was written and the special relationship that Paul had with the church in Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony in Macedonia, and its people had this very strong sense of loyalty to Rome. And it was here, during Paul's second missionary journey, that he founded the first Christian community in Europe. The church community was small but mighty, and they demonstrated their strength in both faith and action. You see, their church was the primary financial support behind Paul's ministry. And because of their ongoing support, which demonstrated their deep commitment to his mission, the church in Philippi held a special place in Paul's heart. In this instance, their gift was twofold. They indeed pledged their financial resources, but they also supplied someone to minister to Paul, Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus brought a financial gift from the church and then stayed to care for Paul during his imprisonment, likely in Rome. And the context indicates that Paul was probably on house arrest, which is why he could receive visitors. And after arriving, Epaphroditus fell ill. And after he recuperated, he traveled back to his home church to declare Paul's message of encouragement to the congregants. But when you consider the context of Paul's letter, that he was imprisoned, his words hold much more significance. Paul is encouraging the church in Philippi while at the same time perhaps reminding himself that God is near, that he should rejoice always, that he shouldn't be anxious about anything, and that when he makes his requests known to God, the peace which passes all understanding will guard his heart and mind in Christ Jesus too. Paul was able to lean into his purpose without yielding to defeat or giving in to despair. Thanks be to God. Recently, at a children's retreat at Camp Broadway, our beloved children's minister, Toy Mack, talked with the children about how they seek and pursue peace. And following their discussion, they visited different stations for further discovery and application, one of those being the journaling station, where they reflected on prayer in all its forms. It has been a blessing for me to read and reread the ways in which our children responded. I have been ministered to and inspired by their words and the artistic images they drew. Of course, we are called by God to inspire and to lead our children in their faith, but we are also called by God to allow our children to inspire and to lead us. The priesthood of all believers is a foundational concept in Christian theology, and it's a key element of the Protestant Reformation. It emphasizes every believer has direct access to God and the right and responsibility to approach God, and all believers have the right to theological interpretation. The priesthood of all believers includes our children. Children are theologians, too. And it is our responsibility to hear from children directly about their own perspective on God, so we can learn from their wisdom. And learn we will. God has blessed each of them with talents, gifts, and divine purpose, not a purpose that will manifest itself one day when they become adults or youth, but right now, in whatever their stage of childhood. As adults leading in ministry with children, and not just ministry to children, our work is to create a space for persons of all ages to hear God. And when we create these spaces, children learn of the loving nature of their God. And if we allow them, they'll minister to us. They will help us, the adults, glean a new perspective on God, one that we might altogether have missed. So let's do that. Rather than just preach about the importance of listening to and learning from children, what better time to include them and to hear their perspectives than on Children's Sabbath? Annie, could you come help me with the sermon? Annie, you went to Camp Broadway for the children's retreat, right? Would you be willing to share one of your prayers with us? God, thank you for making beautiful creatures. Thank you for your prayer, Annie. I agree. God created so many beautiful creatures. What are your two favorite creatures right now? horses and bunnies. Have you ever ridden a horse? No? Maybe, Toy, we can set that up. Okay. Just think of all the beauty in our world that we often overlook. And sometimes I forget to notice how amazing our world really is. And you know what? Your prayer started me thinking about things in creation that I really love, like a surprise visit of a monarch butterfly, or the sound that crickets make on a summer night, or petting a new puppy or kitten, making a new friend. Annie, you are one of God's beautiful creatures too. And thank you for reminding us to take time to thank God for all of creation. Thank you. Lila, will you come stand by me and share the prayer that you wrote?
Dear God.
Oh, 1 second. It's not on. Okay, try it again.
Dear.
Here, come here. Why don't we come? Try this one. There we go.
Dear God, please help my puppy sleep through the night so my parents can sleep through the night.
Amen. Sleep is so important, right? Yeah. A proper night's sleep is not just a matter of rest. It helps us to concentrate at school and helps us fight off sickness. Lila, your prayer has stayed with me for 2 weeks. I love how it shows your care and concern for your dog, but also for your mom and dad. Like, that prayer could have been about you, but you made it about them. So why don't you tell Broadway the name of your dog?
Betty.
Betty, good. And what kind of dog is Betty?
Labrador.
Okay, so Lila and I have something in common. I have two dogs, Cody and Mac. Cody is an Australian Shepherd Lab mix, and Mac is a Boston Terrier, who actually is siblings with Bradley Resnicek's Boston Terrier, FYI. Your prayer reminds us to think of the well-being of others, both animals and humans. So thank you, Lila, for reminding us to think of others when we pray. Thank you. Vivian, could you come stand over here and help me with something? A few of the prayers I read about, which were anonymous, until I found out from Toy who wrote them, a few of the prayers I read had to do with worrying and having anxiety. So, Vivian, although you didn't write a prayer about anxiety, would you please share what someone else wrote?
God, please help me with my anxiety. Yeah.
I really connected with this prayer. I was telling Vivian earlier because I, too, have anxiety. I often feel nervous, worried, and anxious. And, Vivian, I wanted to ask you to help with this because I thought maybe the person who wrote this wouldn't want to share this information with the whole church because it might give them more anxiety to have to say it out loud in front of all of these people. This kind of prayer, Vivian, is what we call a prayer of petition. It's when we ask God to help us with something. And God wants to help us. God already knows what's going on with our lives, and God wants us to share the good things and the things that are a struggle. I have an idea. Will you help me with something? Okay, Broadway, Vivian has something to say to you.
Raise your hand if you have ever had anxiety.
Okay, everybody, raise your hands high. Now, children, look around the room. Vivian, look, right? Let's show the children they are not alone. Anxiety can be tricky. Sometimes we're worried about an upcoming homework assignment or a test or a disagreement with a friend or something going on in our family. But sometimes we feel anxious and we don't even know why. So whoever wrote this prayer is kind of like the Apostle Paul. They've reminded us to give our anxieties to God and not to carry them alone. So thank you for helping me with this, Vivian. Thank you. And thank you to the person who wrote this prayer. Okay, let's share one more prayer with our congregation. David, will you join me? David, will you please share your prayer of praise with our church?
I praise God by playing the violin for others.
Yes, this is brilliant. I totally agree. When we're having fun and enjoying life, when we're doing things like sports, dance, reading, taking a nap, right? When we're enjoying life, we are praising God. God knew we would love those things. And in fact, David, when God created you to be good at violin. So David, what are some of the other things that you like to do?
Making art.
Great. So I love art. I love looking at art. I'm not very good at making art. I think I am in my mind, but then when I put pencil to paper, it doesn't happen. Right?
Yeah.
I remember when Abby was a little girl, I was saying this to her, and she said, "No, Mom, you're really good at art. I know it." And then I drew something, and she said, "Well, you're good at music." So, David, when you're playing violin or hanging out with your brother, drawing art, you are praising God. Children, when you're doing the things you love, your life becomes a prayer. Prayer isn't just when you bow your head before a meal or when you say prayers with toy at camp or in Sunday school or when you say bedtime prayers. Prayer is playing baseball or practicing the piano or helping your family around the house or drawing a picture or playing on the playground. When we're living life full of joy and being the person God created us to be, we are praising Jesus and God. David, thank you. Thank you for reminding us that being the person God made us to be and having fun while we use our God-given gifts is a prayer of praise. The word for peace, shalom in Hebrew and eirene in Greek, occur frequently in the Bible, and the word shalom appears approximately 237 times in the Hebrew Bible and in the New Testament. And although these words are often translated as peace, they carry a broader meaning, including notions of wholeness, well-being, completeness, and prosperity. When Jesus greeted his disciples with shalom after his resurrection, he offered a profound blessing that went beyond a simple hello or greeting. By saying shalom, he offered them a promise of wholeness, well-being, completeness, and prosperity. Just as we offer one another in his name when we pass the peace at the beginning of our worship each week. But then I started thinking about Jesus' final words just before he ascended, the Great Commission, which obviously holds significant ethical weight, because the Great Commission is Christian ethics in action. Following Jesus and making disciples is not just about preaching a message, right, on a Sunday morning, but living it out, pursuing reconciliation and peace in the world. A little girl whose third grade teacher captured her attention with Ray Bradbury's poem, Dandelion Wine, started on a path to spend nearly every waking moment journaling. That little girl continued to write, and before long, her words would inspire a nation. And a little child shall lead us. The National Youth Poet Laureate, Amanda Gorman, finished writing the poem, The Hill We Climb, after witnessing the siege on the Capitol on January 6th, 2021. The poem begins with these words. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace. And the norms and notions of what just is isn't always justice. And the poem concludes, when day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it, for there is always light. If only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it. Thanks be to God. Amen.